It's Sunday, January 22nd, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with your weekend story. On today's show, we're taking a look at what's so different about the future of tokenized technologies compared to what's come before. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Today's featured story is an opinion piece from Noelle Acheson, formerly the head of research at CoinDesk and then at Genesis Trading. She now writes the popular Crypto is Macro Now newsletter. Our piece today is entitled A New Philosophy of Markets, Assets That Embody Technology. Amid all the, bah, told you it was worthless commentary from skeptics recently, something crystallized for me. I did not appreciate how much public perception of crypto had shifted since the last time prices were bouncing along cyclical lows. Back then, crypto was a new type of money, a global computer, an engagement incentive, and a governance value. Now, in the eyes of the mainstream, crypto is a market. Like many of you, I spent part of the end of year break explaining to family and friends that no, crypto was not over. I puzzled for a while over the extent of this misconception until it clicked. It's not that crypto markets got financialized. We all know that, just as we all recognize the damage done to perceptions and sentiments by the collapse of some of the main architects and beneficiaries of that financialization. It's more that crypto became just a market for most casual observers. That's all, just a market. And with the market in dire straits, well, obviously there's no longer any point to the whole concept. Looking back, it's not hard to see how this shift happened. The increasing levels of institutional adoption, Goldman Sachs, Fidelity, BlackRock, prices up 20% in the day, down 80% year to date, scams like rug pulls and exploits, and regulatory concerns, protect investors, protect the financial system, fueled headlines that grabbed attention, incentivizing more stories along the same vein. The power of repetition, as media coverage in the industry broadened, cemented the association of crypto with risky. I'm not pointing fingers at media. Many publications have done a great job of also surfacing the more transformative aspects of our industry. But perception tends to latch onto what it can grasp. And the public, generalizing here, is familiar with markets, whereas it doesn't necessarily understand Merkle trees. Price moves are easier to visualize than consensus algorithms. And the power of institutional signaling is more relatable than weighted decentralized liquidity pools. The market's narrative is stickier than the tech narrative because it's more comfortable. The risk narrative is stickier than the innovation narrative because drama is better at grabbing our attention. The instinctive reaction here, then, is to vow to start focusing more on the technology angles of crypto. I and many others have argued for that elsewhere. But while that is still the case, there's another fundamental aspect of crypto evolution that's been largely overlooked. We know that crypto assets are both speculative and investment opportunities. We also know they represent radical new technologies. We can acknowledge that they're all of those things at the same time. What's harder to wrap our heads around is that the asset is the technology. For the first time in our history, we have tradable assets that embody innovation. Sure, investors can get exposure to progress through equities or exchange-traded funds, but they're formulaic wrappers around potential earnings streams that become available to the public only long after the innovation is first tested. Amazon, for example, was founded in 1994 and scrabbled together a startup existence for 3 years before offering the public the opportunity to speculate. Facebook was founded in 2004 but didn't offer a tradable asset to represent a bet on its potential until 2012. Both were considered extremely risky in their early pre-initial public offering days, too much so for mainstream investors, and both were extremely volatile at launch and for some time after. But even those examples are not exactly comparable. Amazon and Facebook are not new technologies. They represent a new use of a technology, and both have frequently, and especially in recent weeks, seen their values buffeted by corporate decisions and fiat economy-based earnings outlooks. Bitcoin, Ether, and others are the new technology. Technically, they're assets that move on new rails, but neither the assets nor the rails work or have value without the other. Plus, there's no earnings risk stemming from strategic decisions taken behind closed doors or from difficult economic conditions. It's as if you had a chance to buy stock in the internet in 1985 that gave you pure exposure to its adoption with no corporation risk. What's more, crypto assets open up support for innovation unlike any other tradable vehicle to date. They're pure technology plays that anyone, anywhere can invest in, without having to prove a certain amount of wealth for early access. They are risky, yes, but new concepts usually are, and education, as well as platform disclosure rules, could offer some protection without erecting inequality-enhancing barriers. Crypto is so much more than a market. It's also more than a new technology. It's a new way of thinking about value, risk, funding, and engagement. It adds a jug full of philosophy to the soup of finance, garnishes it with a few dashes of ingenious code and a sprinkle of hype, and stirs it up to get a whole new flavor of evolution. Maybe this year we can do better at getting that message across. Maybe with that, we'll earn a more thoughtful type of criticism as well as a more nuanced approach to regulation. And in thinking more about the messaging, perhaps even those of us in the industry can face the next cycle with fortified conviction that what we're working on matters, probably more than most of us realize. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, send the show an email at podcast@coindesk.com, or you can email me directly at adamlevine@coindesk.com. If you like what we're doing, we always appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. This episode was produced by Adrian Blust and myself, with further support from the podcast team over at coindesk.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Markets Daily.